The Taliban is trying to show a kinder, gentler face to the world. Today, the group held its first press conference since taking Kabul, promising that interpreters and contractors who work with the U.S. government would be safe if they stay, and that protections for women and girls would remain in place. Meantime, in the U.S., finger-pointing continues over who lost Afghanistan. Yesterday, President Biden blamed the Afghan military for the fall of Kabul.
The Afghan military collapsed, sometime without trying to fight. If anything, the developments of the past week reinforced that ending U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan now was the right decision. American troops cannot and should not be fighting in a war and dying in a war that Afghan forces are not willing to fight for themselves.
For a deeper look now at the White House and its handling of the withdrawal, we're joined by former NATO Supreme Allied Commander Admiral James Stavridis. Welcome, Admiral.
Good to be with you, Scott.
Now, you have spent so many years on the ground in Afghanistan. As Americans try to understand the intelligence of what may have happened, help us understand how this works. How well does the president, does the Pentagon know how prepared its allies really are?
Well, there are always going to be deep intangibles when you come to the collision of actual combat. And so I think the intelligence community, for the 20 years that we were building these Afghan security forces, did the best they could. They measured it by looking at number of casualties the Afghan forces were taking, many, looking at their willingness to conduct combat operations. Generally speaking, they were up for the task. All that, however, Scott, presumed U.S. support, logistics, air cover, advisors. When that got pulled away, I think we were all surprised how quickly it all collapsed.
Now, as far as the speed, as you know, the president suggested the Afghan forces didn't try to fight. Is this a question of willingness, or might there be other factors in place? You surely know about the Taliban's resiliency and its ability to persuade, as it were.
Indeed. I think you have to give the Taliban a lot of credit here in terms of putting together a coherent narrative, massing forces, moving swiftly, supporting them logistically, negotiating deals. There were shots fired as well. It was a very strong performance, I'm sorry to say, by the Taliban. On the obverse side of the coin, the Afghans had all the equipment, but did not have the willpower to step into the fight. And from the U.S. perspective, Scott, I think we pulled out very quickly. It kind of contributed to that collapse. So there's no one answer. It's really all three of those factors playing together.
Now, let me ask you a little bit more about time here. The president noted that he would not pass the responsibility to a fifth president. Now, in a recent article you have written, you've cited an oft-used quote attributed to a Taliban leader that, "You Americans have the watches. We have time. We have all the time." Did Taliban leaders know that they could wait this out?
Absolutely. And I think this was what will be closely scrutinized from a policy perspective here is the question of the agreement that was reached with the Trump administration, which had the same idea strategically to get out of Afghanistan. And I certainly respect that as a coherent goal. That agreement was specific that we would pull out ultimately when conditions were met, when there was a ceasefire, when there was negotiation, when the Taliban were willing to participate in government. I think our mistake policy-wise was pulling out before we insisted on those conditions being met. That contributed to this collapse in morale and will, and here we are.
And here we are. 1 minute left, sir. You understand the Taliban's historic alliance of convenience with al-Qaeda. What's your sense of the threat going forward that Taliban 2.0 may again harbor extremist groups?
Unfortunately, I think it's a high threat. And the challenge for the United States going forward is we don't have the intelligence now. We don't have boots on the ground. We don't have the CIA in country. It's going to be very challenging for us going forward to assess whether or not the Taliban avoid the mistake they made 20 years ago. Let's hope they learn from it and do not jump back into a relationship with al-Qaeda.
Admiral James Stavridis, he served as NATO's Supreme Allied Commander from 2009 to 2013. Admiral, thanks for the time.
Thanks, Scott.